بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد ونبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليصل رحمه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت متفق عليه. Continuing with the chapter, we discussed the verses of the Qur'an pertaining to ikramu dhaif, honoring the guest. The incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and likewise that of Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, under this topic or heading brought verses of the Qur'an alluding to these incidents, from which we can see the great emphasis that the Shariat places on honoring the guest, serving the guest. As I mentioned previously, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Hayatul Sahaba, he devotes almost an entire chapter to this. Many, many incidents from the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram. Today, our mizaj, our temperament has become such that there is a great deal of protocol, decorum, thought, pondering before we decide to serve a guest or even invite a guest. Whereas if we look into seerah in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly the period in Madinah Munawwara, every day Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would invite people to partake of meals on his dastarkhan, and Sahaba-e-Kiram, this was not an exception, this was the rule. In our case, it's an exception. Sometimes maybe in a whole week, with difficulty, we might invite a person once to partake of a meal. And like I said, it's mentioned about Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu that on average up to 80, sometimes more than 80 people every day would become mehman and guest in his home. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a dastarkhan that would be laid out and the food would be placed upon it and then others would be invited. At times the space would become constricted to the extent that Sahaba said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would raise his knees, he would sit in squat position in order to give space to the others that were around him. So many was the number of the guests that he had to actually compress his body to give space to the guests. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just to cite one example, it's mentioned, Kan ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, huma la ya'kulu illa ma'al masakin. He would never partake of any meal unless the poor had been invited to share his dastarkhan. It's mentioned about him, Kan la ya'kulu ta'aman illa ala khiwanihi yateem. He would never ever eat unless there was a yatim or an orphan who was partaking of the meal with him on his dastarkhan. It's mentioned about Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, hatta adarra dhalika bi jismihi. So many people would be invited to share his food, and obviously akhlaq and character of sahaba was such that they would give preference to others over themselves. So one is the dastarkhan is laid out. In the latter part of his life, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with a lot of wealth. So mashallah, it would be a large dastarkhan, there would be more than enough food. Yet he would invite so many poor, so many of the masakin, he would invite the yatama, the orphans, and then ikram, give them preference over himself to such an extent that by the time the meal had ended, he had partaken of very, very little food. Hatta adarra dhalika bijismihi. To the extent that the effect of malnutrition had become evident on the body of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. wealth, huge dastarkhan, yet malnutrition. Why? Giving so much of preference to the mahman and the guest. It is mentioned in the riwayat that they complained. In fact, the wife of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was criticized. That what is wrong with you? Are you not looking after your husband? Why is it that he is looking so lean, so haggard? Are you not preparing food? Are you not giving him food to eat, etc.? So she said that it's not my fault. I prepare the food, the dastarkhan is laid out, but so many people partake of the food, he would call so many people, as a result of which himself he would partake of very little food. So it's mentioned about her that one day she decided that at least today my husband will eat stomach full. So what she did, she knew the road he would take when he would come from the masjid as he was proceeding home to partake of meals. It had become famous, the generosity of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, so the poor and the masakeen would line the streets. And as he was proceeding, whoever he would see, he would invite them. So that sometimes more than 100 people would gather at the dastarkhan of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. So what his wife did while he was in the masjid, the poor that had gathered, she prepared food in advance for them. And she sent her servants. And she said, feed every person. Call every person that you find on the street from the masjid to the home. And give them food in advance and tell them that, listen, when my husband leaves the masjid, you must not be here. That's the condition. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma leaves the masjid. Now there's no poor visible. As he's walking, he's looking around, not one single person to invite. It is mentioned that day, by the time he entered the home, dastarkhan had been laid out and she had taken particular care that today at least he will eat. Why? People were complaining. What is wrong with you? Your husband appears to be suffering from malnutrition. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was so upset that day that he entered the house. He was heartbroken. That how can I, the food was in front of him, how can I partake of food and there is no guest in the house of Abdullah bin Umar? So he took a qasam and an oath. He said, that night I will not eat. So he went to eat, he went to bed without eating. This was how much serving the guests, inviting people, particularly the fuqara, the masakeen, the poor and the needy, this was how much it had become a part of the akhlaq and character of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instilled this quality. Famous incident, it passed a few chapters back, where the person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he complains that I am hungry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends message one house to the next house to the next house. All the azwaj mutahharat, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every one of them, the response was given that Ya Rasulullah, there is absolutely no food in the house. Whatever they had was spent in the cause of Islam, particularly in this instance in feeding the guests, in feeding the food and the delegations that had come from outside Medina Munawara. Into Medina Munawara, they were fed the food that was present. Coming back to this hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator. And we find that this is a hadith which passed previously. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyukrim dhaifahu. Wa man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyasil rahima. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Now in this hadith, three things are mentioned. Three qualities. Just to reiterate them, as I said, this hadith passed previously. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is enjoining upon us three things in this hadith. The first, obviously, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, there is a reason that he is going to be mentioning this particular hadith in this chapter. So, فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Let him honor or let him serve the guest. The other two things that are mentioned in this hadith, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمًا. Let him preserve or join family ties. And the third thing in this hadith, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Let him speak what is good. In other words, guard the tongue. Be very, very careful of the utterances of the tongue. So speak what is good or remain silent. In other words, when you have an option to speak, either what you are going to say is something beneficial. Sometimes you are giving da'wah towards Allah's greatness. Sometimes you are enjoining good, you are forbidding evil, etc. All this is what we call beneficial speech. Then there is a possibility, Allah protect us, that you are going to hurt the feelings of someone, backbite, lash out at someone, insult someone, spread malicious rumors about someone. So that is negative speech. So either positive speech or negative speech, or the third option is to remain silent. So in this instance, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا. When the opportunity to speak, when there is an opportunity to do goodness by speaking, do not remain silent. Islam, while silence and less speech is strongly advocated in Quran and Hadith and in Shariat, we should not have this mindset that it means remain silent when there is a chance to do some good by speaking. When there is a chance to do some good by speaking, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا, speak. But if there is a possibility that you are going to cause harm, لِيَسْمُدْ, then become silent. Now coming back, three things are mentioned. Honoring the guest. The second, joining or preserving of family ties. And the third, consideration or being careful with regards to the utterances of the tongue. And in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before each of these three things, he mentions this expression, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Whoever amongst you believes in Allah and in akhirat, the day of qiyamah, yawmul akhir, the last day or the day of qiyamah. In Quran and Hadith terminology, what this refers to, what we call accountability, or what we say, ihsas of jaza and saza, the conviction, the perception of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us. So whoever amongst you has iman in Allah, and in the day of qiyamah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do this. Then he repeated this, and he said, do this. And he repeated this, and he said, you do this. Three times. Who believes in Allah and in akhirat, honor the guest. Who believes in Allah and akhirat, join family ties. Who believes in Allah and akhirat, speak good or remain silent. Now the question is, whether it's salah, whether it's zakat, whether it's hajj, whether it's any tenet of deen, that tenet of deen is not applicable to a person unless he has iman. Without iman, you're not given any command of Allah. The first command is that of iman. So why three times say this? Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, then do this, then do this, then do this. Ulama ikram say that such ahadith refer to what we call kamali iman, the perfection of iman. It's not just you recite shahada and just enter into Islam. This is a lifelong struggle. After you have entered into Islam, to perfect and to reach the pinnacle and the height of iman. That is why Allah tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasulihi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people of iman. Allah is addressing the people of iman. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. The believer who reads this verse should ask himself the question, Allah is addressing me, Ya Allah, what do you want from me? What is your command? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. The believer is addressed. So when we ask ourselves in this verse, Ya Allah, what is your command to me? Ajib command. Aminu billah. Allah is saying, bring iman on Allah. Allah finished saying, Quran already said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people of iman. Yet Allah is saying, bring iman. In other words, kamal iman, perfection of iman. Another deeper translation of this ulama give, your iman is not even there. The iman can never be complete without these three qualities being there in your life. There are many explanations to the hadith, and there are many links to why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized it like this. This is one link. In other words, your iman can never be complete. You can never be a true believer unless you honor your guests, unless you preserve family ties, unless you speak good or you remain silent. As I mentioned, there are other links to this and other important aspects, but obviously we've run out of time. So inshallah we'll continue. SubhanAllah.